Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back to Bunce's Boxing Podcast. Been away for a couple of weeks, but we're back to look at some cracking fighting this weekend. And I love the heavyweights, Bunce, but I think the super middleweights is my favourite division. And it's a decent weekend for the super middles.
It's a great weekend for the super middles. You know what? It's a great time to be a heavyweight, sure. But it's been a great time to be a super middle for a lot longer. Just because the big boys are having a bit of fun at the moment. The super middleweights have been doing it for like 30 years, for God's sake. It's old hat for them.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, there's a few good ones. We're going to have a look at the James Dale fight, of course. We'll touch on the Badou Jack Lucien Bute fight as well. Let's start on this side of the Atlantic first, though. We've got a bill on Box Nation, Buncey, on Saturday. The Copper Box Arena, which is becoming one of the place to watch your boxing in this country. And there's a few titles up for grabs, aren't there, on this bill?
Yeah, there's a couple of British titles, there's a Commonwealth title, and then there's one of those sort of intercontinental titles, which throws up a very interesting heavyweight clash, and we'll explain why in a moment. It's a big bill. It starts at 6 o'clock, it starts at 4 o'clock,
and the TV broadcast
wow. starts at 6, and it'll probably end at 1.
Wow.
Yes,
so,
7 hours.
Jesus, I mean, I was looking down the card, and there's so many fights on it. You know, we've got a few kind of lopsided ones, if you like. You've got the Huey Fury versus Fred Cassie, 1-20, yeah. Fury wins that. We've got Liam Walsh against Troy James. It's 1-10 for Liam there in the super featherweights. We've got also got shortish price in Jamie Conlon, 1-8. But that Ryan Walsh, James Tennyson fight, it's a pick'em, Buncey. 10-11.
Ten to eleven,
each of two here in this fight, and it looks a belter. Should we start with that one? It's for the British featherweight title fight. Ryan 21-1. James Tennyson 16-1-0. This should be a belter. Good domestic scrap, this one, eh?
Yeah, it's a proper domestic scrap. We tend to forget it was only a couple of years ago that Ryan Walsh went the full 12 with Lee Selby. He lost, don't get me wrong, but he was there for the full 12, wasn't hanging on, wasn't in any danger. And of course, since then, you know, Lee Selby's been variously declared the saviour of Welsh boxing, British boxing, and the featherweight division. So we shouldn't forget that. James Tennyson has just got the one defeat, really bizarre defeat, against one of those guys that wins every sort of 42 fights. I'm not joking. Just one of those things that went wrong. He got cut, he got dropped, he got stopped. The only defeat. I saw them together at the press conference on Thursday, and I was amazed at just how big Tennyson is. Because he's not that small a featherweight, Ryan Walsh. He's not the biggest featherweight, but he's not the smallest featherweight. And Tennyson looked absolutely enormous. It is the hardest fight, arguably, of the weekend to pick or predict. And obviously, the bookies have backed it that way.
Yeah, indeed. Are you going to have a go? What are you going to go for?
Oh, no, I'm going to go for a little bit of grade and class, and I'm going to go for Walsh on points.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to go for Walsh on points. I think they've got a great setup. They train out in Tenerife, the Walsh brothers. There's three of them, obviously. Liam, who we're talking about in a moment, and Michael, a twin, separated by only 2 minutes. The mother having an emergency cesarean to whack the pair of them out because... Ryan was trying to get out in front of Liam and choking Liam on the umbilical
cord. Like some sort of race, yeah.
Fighters
from the start.
And they've not changed since.
No.
Trust me, they're competitive about what corner of the changing room they get to change in. And I just fancy Ryan. He might get to Tennyson late, but I just fancy he wins on points. But it's a terrific fight. Terrific fight. And I hope it's tight enough that we have a rematch in Belfast, which is where Tennyson should be fighting.
Those are the three that I mentioned, Buncey. Just because the bookies have got them short doesn't mean they won't be good fights. You don't see any upsets, I guess, in any of them, but you were alluding to the heavyweight fight there.
Yeah, well, the thing with Fred Cassie, a big Fred who's fighting unbeaten Huey Fury only 21 years of age, which people tend to forget, is that Fred Cassie's last fight was a very hotly disputed 10-round points loss to Dominic Brazil.
Who we know a lot more about now, don't we?
Yeah. Brazil, or Brazili, as he likes to be called, this week entered as was named as the man to fight Big Anthony Joshua at the O2 on June 25th, which subsequently sold out in 30 minutes. So Cassie, really, most people consider, beat Brazil that day, didn't get the decision. No, not a big argument, because it was a fairly low-key fight. Cassie goes on to fight Yuri Fury in the sort of nominal or joint top of the bill at the Copper Box. And, you know, a mile down the road in 6 weeks' time, Brazil comes into London and fights Anthony Joshua in front of 20,000 rabid and avid fans at the O2. It's a quirky old business we're in.
You're not kidding. While we're on the subject of heavyweights, Buncey, William Hill have put out this special bet. What will Tyson Fury weigh in as at the Vladimir Klitschko fight? So you can back over £260 is 11-8. £250 to £260 inclusive is even money, and under £250 is 4-1. He was £247 in that original fight with Klitschko. £260 against Hammer, £264 Chisora, up at around the £270 mark against Joey Abel. £254. You get the gist. He's seldom under £250. He's been under £250 against Marty Rogan, against Vinny Madalone back in 2012. But I think they're the only times, and maybe John McDermott actually was under £250 in his career.
In the rematch, listen, I think he's going to come in a lot lighter than people think. I don't think he's got as much weight, I agree with Peter Fury, as people think he has to lose. And that's what he looks like. You know, that's what he would have looked like before he got in the ring on the night. You know, a little bit bloated, there's a little bit of shape and definition to come. I think he'll be closer to 252 than he is to anything. Yeah, I'm looking about, I think he'd be a bit heavier than he was in the first fight, but not by more than 5 or 6 pounds.
Yeah, so
I'm going about 252, 253.
Even money. Interesting little bet. I mean, it's been fascinating.
Nice little bet.
It's been fascinating, his approach to this fight so far, Buncey. I mean, talk about mind games. I think he's playing mind games with himself at the minute at times, isn't he?
Yeah, he may have tangled himself up in some kind of web of deception, to be perfectly honest with you, because the concept, the idea that he doesn't care is flawed. It's not true. And the idea that, you know, he could walk away, it means nothing to him. It, you know, add to that, it's flawed. It's not true. And the idea that Vladimir Klitschko is cool as a cucumber, or as relaxed and cool as an ice cube, is also flawed. He was harried the other day. And will that make him take a risk? Because underneath all of the ridiculous sexual innuendo and all of the screaming and shouting and swearing, all of the X-rated stuff, there are actually some real tells, as they say in poker, some real signs, some real indicators about what was going on, what was really going on. And there was a little bit of goading. It was quite clever from Fury saying, listen, you know, perhaps he will take a risk. But can he take a risk? And he was talking to himself almost. It was like it was in his head. Can he afford to take a risk? If he takes a risk, then that means he'll commit. And then literally take your head to the left-hand side. If he commits, that means I'll counter. So will he take a risk? Move your head back to the right-hand side. So he was having a conversation with himself, but he was having it out loud. And that, I think, is the thing here. It is almost the nub here, is the keystone of this fight. Will Klitschko take a risk? If he takes a risk, anything can happen. If he doesn't take a risk, then it will be a repeat of what we had in Dusseldorf. But what if he does take a risk? What if he thinks, I'm going to go out, I can't go out with another 12-round defeat and have this guy's mocking ringing in my ears for the rest of my life. I've got to go out. So the thing is, if he takes a risk and gets done, Tyson Fury will change what he says about Klitschko. Even if Klitschko gets splattered in 4 rounds, but if he has a go, Fury will never insult him again.
No.
You understand that, don't you?
That's no, he holds him in quite high esteem anyway, doesn't he, really?
Absolutely.
Underneath
absolutely.
It all, yeah.
But if he has a go and goes down throwing, he'll never, ever abuse him. If he doesn't have a go and he loses again, then Fury will be able to criticise him and mock him for the rest of his life. I don't think Klitschko can put up with that. So Klitschko either has to win or he has to go down throwing. I do, and I think there's going to be a little bit of pride. And it's the pride that makes the entire night so potentially explosive. And I do, and I use that word not advisedly. I use that word knowingly. It will be explosive. This is a different fight we have here.
Yeah, it's a pick 'em as well, 10 to 11, each of two. We'll talk a lot more about that in the coming months. Let's go stateside, shall we? So you mentioned a big weekend of super middleweight action on Friday night in Atlantic City, both the Durrells fight. We've got prices on Andre Durrell, but he's 1-10 to win his fight. He's fighting Blake Capilello, and Andre and Anthony Durrell's fighting Caleb Truer. But we're kind of concentrating on the bill where our very own James DeGale's fighting at the Armory in Washington. He's fighting
AKA James Hu at the moment, poor sausage.
I know. Yeah, it's a shame.
Totally under the radar. Yeah.
Against Rogelio Medina. And the same bill, Badu Jack fights Lucien Bute. So the IBF...
Top of the bill.
Yeah. WBC belt is the Badu Jack Lucien Bute one. And James Nigel's fight is obviously for the IBF. Let's start with the Badu Jack versus Lucien Bute, first of all. A lot of fans, obviously, have watched Bute very, very closely. He's had three losses in his last five. Obviously, the Carl Froch loss, Jean Pascal, and then De Gale himself. Yeah. So he's on the way back here. And you know, De Gale watches this with interest because you know he's got an opponent in common with Badu Jack, of course, in George Groves, who he lost to and who Badu Jack won against. Fascinating double up. It's like the Super 8s all over again, Bunty, having this one.
Yeah, it's it. Great sort of weekend and not that many miles apart, and basically a short enough commute. Badu Jack against Lucien Bute is very interesting. I'm not a massive fan of Badu Jack. I mean, he's a terrific fighter. He is a good little fighter, don't get me wrong, but I thought he was fortunate against George Groves. I think George Groves got his tactics all wrong in that fight. I don't know what was going on. I think George Groves would beat him now. I think De Gale would beat him now. I think Callum Smith would push him now. I think Jamie Cox, if he wasn't in prison, would push him now. I think Martin Murray would push him now. I really do. And I think Bute might just push him. And that completely ruins James De Gale's plans. Badu Jack has already ruined James De Gale's plans by beating George Groves narrowly last September. That was plan one, kiboshed. If Badu Jack loses to Lucien Bute, how do you sell De Gale and Bute 2? Mm. You can't sell it in Canada. It wasn't really close enough. You can't sell it in America. It means enough. You can't bring it back here because people remember Bute being smashed to bits by Carl Froch about 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So the worst decision for James De Gale. Let's talk. We should be in the James De Gale business. He's a British fighter and he won an Olympic gold medal for Britain. The worst decision for De Gale is that Bute wins because that means his super fight unification thing goes out the window. Nobody wants to fight Ramirez, the Mexican, who won every single second of every single round against Arthur Abraham. He's the 12 stone invisible Mexican. Trust me, I'm not sure if he's promoted by David Blaine or not. Only is he invisible. It's quite embarrassing. No one's mentioning his name. So De Gale's got a bit of a problem if Bute were to win. And Bute can win. Trust me, Bute really can win. You've got to fancy Jack a bit fresher over 12, but my odd bet here would be Bute outside on points.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because Bute is 3-1 to win this fight. Badu Jack's 1-4. So Bute on points is 15-2. Big old price, that Bunce.
That's a nice little bet.
Yeah, it's a big price, isn't it?
I'm telling you. Yeah, I mean, you know, Carl Froch was in the fight of his life. He was in the Last Chance Saloon when he fought Bute. Let's not forget that, okay? It's been airbrushed famously, but the quotes are there from Eddie Hearn and Carl Froch from before that fight and in the splendid celebrations afterwards. They knew that if they'd lost, it's all over. They're fighting for peanuts.
And he went into a bear pit there.
Exactly.
Anyone who was there that night knows it was a fevered atmosphere, wasn't it?
Absolutely. So Carl did it then. De Gale did it. You know, it wasn't a great fight, but he won. But he didn't win. You know, he didn't smash him to bits and win by 11 rounds. I fancy Bute could beat Jack. I'm not a big fan of Jack. So that creates a problem. Yeah. That's a problem for our Mr. De Gale.
Yeah, and let's go on to James De Gale's fight. You know, anyone who's had the pleasure of meeting him or interviewed him knows that he's a confident young man, but he's a very, very likable young man. That likability hasn't rubbed itself off onto the British public. Hopefully it will one day, Bunce. And he's playing his trade away from home. You look at his last two fights. He went to fight Andre Durrell, you know, took the IBF World Super Middleweight title. Went to Canada, as you said, went to beat Bute, you know, to retain his fight. You know, I'm not saying Andre Durrell's the hardest fight in the world, but he's doing it the hard way, a little like the way Carl Froch did it. He's not having the kind of wars that Froch had, but he's not getting any easy rides here. Is Medina kind of the easiest one he's had? Medina's record reads 36-6. He's won his last four. He'd lost against Jonathan Gonzalez, Badu Jack himself. He was stopped in six. Marcus Reyes as well, he's lost to. So he's got a few losses in his record. It doesn't strike me that he's at the same level that some of James De Gale's other opponents have been. Is that fair or not?
Yeah, this is De Gale's easiest fight for a while, which doesn't mean he can't take his eye off it. He's had a couple of hard 12-rounders in some way. The Durrell fight was a hard fight, you know. You know, there's a case of saying he lost that one, to be perfectly honest. He went asleep for a lot of rounds. The Butte fight, he won, but it wasn't necessarily a great, it wasn't a stunning performance. It was a good performance, and it was still 12 rounds. I'd like to see him get hold of this guy and get him out of there in 5 or 6 rounds, and I expect he will. I think he wanted to make a point. You know, he talks about how he's getting well paid for fighting in America, but now this is a year now since he won his title over there. He hasn't boxed in Britain, I think, since late 2014. And to be honest with you, some of the comments he's recently said about Eddie Hearn, saying, I've got no contract with Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn's in the Callum Smith business. He's not in the James DeGale business. Seems to me that, you know, his exile might continue, to be perfectly honest. And I'm just writing about it at the moment, Lee. I think sadly, his exile, in a week of contrast, when one Olympic gold medalist, Anthony Joshua, defending his world title, saw it sell out 20,000 at the O2 in 30 minutes. Here's James DeGale in obscurity on the undercard of a man, by the way, who he's already beaten in Butte. So he's getting paid the money. He got £1 million, we know, for winning it, winning a title in Boston last May from in a vacant title fight against Darrell. He got decently paid for Butte, and he's getting, I'm assuming, quotes, handsomely paid for Saturday night's work. I don't see him coming back. Next fight, I see, a few sort of problems as he works his way back, especially if Butte wins. So James DeGale wins in 5 or 6 rounds, makes a bit of a statement, and then it's up to him where he goes. We know he didn't want to fight on the Joshua undercard, rightly so. He was an Olympic and world champion. He didn't want to play support to Anthony Joshua, a relative heavyweight novice. So let's see if he comes back. Let's see if Al Heyman's move into Britain materialises after a year of threats. And let's see where James DeGale goes. Because at the moment, he's a terrific fighter. He's making good money. But is he making inroads at the box office with the public? My argument would be no. But at the same time, he's the best super middleweight in the world. That happens.
Yes, it does. DeGale to win it in rounds 4, 5 or 6 is 3-1. DeGale by knockout, stoppage, knockout, TKO disqualification, 4-11. So there's not an awful lot of value in this fight. No. Whether you want to take the risk on the 3-1,
risk on the 3-1 and put Boots A in on point. It's not a bad little bet.
Yeah, you could definitely take that. We've got a few great weeks coming up, Buncey. Just having a look at some of the fixtures there. Next week we'll preview Derek Chisora's fight against Kubrat Pulev. Looking forward to that. Crawler back in the ring, and of course Saul Alvarez El Canelo against Amir Khan, really looking forward to that fight. And earlier. Hours of the morning on Sunday morning. And before the end of May, we'll also see the likes of Ricky Burns back in the ring, Wilder versus Povetkin, Hay back in the ring as well, of course, Tony Bellew. In June, we've got George Groves fighting, of course, Anthony Joshua. And then, of course, we're all looking forward to what we've already talked about today, the biggest weekend of sport this year, 9th of July, when we'll have the Euro 2016 final or the Wimbledon finals, and it's UFC 200 for people who like that as well. So what a weekend, what a weekend that's building up to in the world of boxing. Fantastic. Yeah,
we're not messing around, son.
No, not at all.
It's solid all the way through.
Buncey, have a great weekend and we'll speak to you soon.
Lee, thanks very much. Speak to you soon, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.